Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, the Pew Bible's there, that'll be on page 671. Proverbs 3, and in just a moment, we're going to stand together and we're going to read verses 1 through 12 of Proverbs chapter 3. We've been studying the book of Proverbs, and so maybe you're a guest, maybe today is your first time here with us. We like to go through just books of the Bible here at Mountain Creek, and right now we're going through this book of Proverbs, and these separate sayings, many of them seemingly disconnected sayings about God's ways and the way we should live in God's world. And what we've seen along the way is several reasons why we should keep these. And I want to add one more reason why this morning, why we should keep the Proverbs, and in particular, the one that we're going to study together today. Way back at the beginning, the first or second Sunday in October, when we began the study of Proverbs, we saw that the Proverbs are really about worship. And as we keep the Proverbs, this is what it looks like to worship God. Either we're going to follow folly and the ways of the world and really worship folly leading to death, or we're going to worship God and follow Him in the ways described in the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs is about worship. And we saw that Proverbs is about our witness, that we're to live differently from the world around us. We're to live distinctly as believers, that if Christ has made a difference in our lives, well, it should show by our lives and how we live. Proverbs is about our witness to the world around us. We've seen that Proverbs is about wisdom. This is God's ways. God is the Lord of all, as we just heard. He's the maker and ruler, so He knows how the world works best. This is about wisdom and following Him. We've seen that this is about a commitment to Christ and to His Word, that God's told us what we should do, and we're committed to Him and to His Word. He is the Lord, and we should follow Him. And today I want to say that this is about trust. This is about trust. If you trust Christ, this is how we should live. Living out the Proverbs is what it looks like to live by faith. In the really practical things, this is what it looks like to live by faith. They call us to something different. The Proverbs call us to a different way of life. So Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. And Proverbs 8:32 tells us that those who keep God's ways are blessed. So what we read there in these two Proverbs and really throughout the book is that there are some things that seem right. They look good. They seem logical. We should live this way, so it seems, but they lead to death, which means the opposite is true. There are some things that lead to life that at first glance we would think, well, that doesn't really make sense. I don't know why I would live that way. That doesn't lead to instant gratification. That's certainly not what I would choose on my own. Certainly not the wisdom of the world, but they're God's good word to us. So they lead us to life. They lead us to the blessing of God. And we're to trust Him in this. Follow Him in this. Living out the Proverbs is an expression of our trust in God. And we've seen that in several areas of life. We've seen that in how we use our words. We've seen that in the area of friendships. We've seen that in the area of marriage and the physical expression of romantic love. And we've seen that in work. And today we're going to add to that wealth, money. Today we're going to talk about the wisdom of wealth from the book of Proverbs. Now I'm going to use the word wealth because the Proverbs uses the word wealth. In the English Standard Version, which is what I'm reading from, we see the word money twice. You see the word treasures 8 times, and you see the word wealth 18 times spread out throughout the book of Proverbs. So we're going to use that word wealth, but I want to be clear in what I mean when I'm talking about wealth. When we say wealth here from the book of Proverbs, we're not talking about necessarily just those who we would say are rich. We're not talking about wealth as in wealthy. We're really talking here about all the money and possessions and capital resources that you have. We're talking about your money, your possessions, your resources, your assets. Whether for you that's a lot or whether that's not as much as you would like for it to be. That's what Proverbs is talking about when it's talking about wealth. We want to see what God's Word has to say about wealth and money and possessions and resources. And the main idea throughout the book of Proverbs when it comes to money, the main idea today that we see in the book of Proverbs is this. Wealth is a tool. Wealth is a tool to be used for the glory of God in response to the goodness of God. Wealth is a tool to be used for the glory of God in response to the goodness of God. Or your money is a tool that's to be used for the glory of God in response to the goodness of God. So if you're able, would you stand with me? We're going to hear God's word, Proverbs chapter 3, from verse 1 down through verse 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. This is the word of God. And the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. So, Father, would you help us now to live by your word and live in light of your word? You tell us in the Proverbs that your word is the fountain of life, that by it, by keeping your word, we may turn away from the snares of death. So help us now to find life in your word and in keeping your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Wealth is a tool. Wealth is a tool to be used for the glory of God in response to the goodness of God. That's what we see in Proverbs. That's what we see in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 that we just heard. And that's what we see really even from Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. So these two verses that we just read there towards the end, Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, this specific command and a specific promise are really based on the general command and the general promise that we read in Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. If you look down with me in Proverbs 3, verse 4, you read the command there. It's a general command. It's stated in a positive way, in a negative way, but it's the one command: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. It's impossible to trust in God with all your heart if you are also at the same time trying to lean on your own understanding. You can't lean on your own understanding while trusting in the Lord with all your heart. So here's this command. We're to trust in God with all of our heart. We're not to lean on our own understanding. And now it comes with a promise. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. There's a command, and it's built on a promise. So we keep the command in response to the promise, and we see that general command and that general promise of verse 4 and 5, we see that in a specific way in verse 9 and 10. Verse 9, there's a specific command: honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. You're to take the first and the best of what you have, and you're to use it to honor God. That's the specific command, and it's built on a promise. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. That God will care for you as you do that. God will care for you as you submit this area of life to His Lordship. As you live out this command, God will care for you. This promise, and in response to the goodness of God in this promise, we're to keep this command: honor the Lord with our wealth. So we're going to talk today about money. And it may feel maybe a little personal in here as we talk about money. Maybe we're loosening up our collars a little bit. I just want you to know, if you're new, before we really jump in, I want you to hear this isn't a regular thing for us. I'm kind of walking into maybe a caricature of the church. And maybe you haven't been to church in a long time and you come in and you say, there they go, talking about money again. I want you to know that what I'm committed to, what Mountain Creek is committed to, from our kids' classes through our youth and middle school and high school Sunday school classes, our life groups, and here on Sunday mornings, we're committed to saying what the Bible says. And so as we come to things that the Bible say, we're just going to say them clearly. I'm here to unfold what God's Word says about this. And I just want to say that. We want to say what the Bible says because I don't want you to accuse me today of meddling. You maybe have heard the story before about Farmer Brown. And Farmer Brown was talking to the preacher, and the preacher says to Farmer Brown, "Farmer Brown, if you had $1,000, would you give $500 to the Lord?" "Well, yes, preacher, you know if I had $1,000, I'd give $500 to the Lord." Well, Farmer Brown, if you had 2 cows, would you give 1 to the Lord?" "Well, yeah, preacher, you know if I had 2 cows, I'd give 1 to the Lord." "Well, Farmer Brown, if you had 2 pigs, would you give 1 to the Lord?" "Now, preacher, that's not fair. You know I've got 2 pigs, right?" Now, maybe that preacher was meddling a little bit and kind of getting in a little bit. But my aim today is simply to show what Proverbs clearly says. And what I've been praying as I've been thinking about this message is that God would take His Word and these principles that we're going to see from His Word, and He would lead us. His Holy Spirit would lead you and would lead me and would lead us to the right application in our lives in response to the goodness of God and in response to His Word. So the principle that we see is that wealth is a tool to be used for the glory of God in response to the goodness of God. We see that in Proverbs 3, but throughout the book as a whole, we have this biblical worldview of wealth and money, and that's what we want to think about today. And I want to do that by asking 3 questions. We're going to go on and put them all up on the screen for you now. Those of you who write these things down, 3 questions we want to think about. Number 1, how should we get wealth? How should we get wealth, resources, money, possessions, assets? How should we get wealth? Now, how should we use wealth? How does Proverbs say we should use the money that we get? And then why should we live that way? How should we get wealth? How should we use wealth? And then why should we live that way? So number 1, how should we get wealth? How should we get wealth? Well, here's the principle on acquiring wealth from the book of Proverbs. The principle there is this, that wealth should be gained by diligent, patient, and honest work. Wealth should be gained by diligent, patient, and honest work. Money, resources, possessions. Gained by diligent, patient, and honest work. Proverbs doesn't teach you that you should not have any possessions. Possessions and wealth and money, these aren't bad things according to Proverbs. Really, the question is, how do you use them? And even, how do you acquire them? How are you acquiring possessions or wealth or money? And Proverbs teaches that it should be acquired. Should be acquired by diligent, patient, and honest work. So really right here, we're building on last week's message from Pastor Matt on the wisdom of work. If you missed that last week, you should go back. You can listen to that on Spotify. You can go online on our website and find that and watch that message. But go back and listen. But what we saw there was that our daily work, our everyday work is commended by Proverbs. And Proverbs tells us that in our daily work, we're to work hard. You're to work hard in your job. You're to work hard at home. You're to work hard in your education. You're to work hard. And one of the benefits of hard work, according to the book of Proverbs, is that's the way that we gain money and the way that we gain assets. And you see these themes of work and wealth really come together in Proverbs 10, verse 4 and 5. Proverbs 10, 4 and 5, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. So the general truth of life that we see in Proverbs 10 is that diligent work leads to wealth, but laziness leads to poverty. Diligent work leads to wealth, but laziness leads to poverty. Now, Proverbs is more nuanced than that. I need you to remember what we saw at the very beginning, our very first message in the book of Proverbs, that you can't take any one proverb and then from that learn all the things you need to learn about that subject. You're designed to take it as the whole. So Proverbs is more nuanced than this, just that. Proverbs knows that work and hard work doesn't always lead to riches in the way that we think about riches. Proverbs has a category for those who are working hard but have their money, their wealth, their possessions taken away by circumstances or by injustice in the world. So that is a general principle. It's a general principle that diligent work leads to wealth, but laziness leads to poverty. We can't take from that and say just because someone isn't wealthy means that they're lazy. That's not what Proverbs is saying. But the general truth is that sluggards go without. Paul says in the New Testament, if you don't work, you don't eat, right? Sluggards go without. We should work diligently. Diligence, persistence, hard work, constant effort. These should mark us. And the general truth is that diligence in work, generally speaking, will supply us with the needed income for life. We're to gather wealth diligently. And we're to gather wealth patiently. We're to gather it patiently. Proverbs doesn't speak against gaining wealth, but it does speak against gaining wealth hastily. Proverbs speaks against get-rich-quick schemes. Beware of get-rich-quick schemes. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Proverbs doesn't tell you that gaining wealth is bad, but we're to work to gain it little by little. So you've seen those ads before, or maybe they come to you by way of junk emails or what should be junk emails. 7 ways to make millions without working 9 to 5 is a headline I've seen. 7 ways to make millions without working 9 to 5. Or maybe they're presented as testimonials. Now, I made $50,000 in just one day of work, and you can too. These get-rich-quick kind of schemes. Proverbs is warning us against that. Proverbs is telling us to avoid those things. Now, why is that? I mean, work smarter, not harder, right? That's a good principle to live by. Work smarter, not harder. So why shouldn't we find ways to just get rich quick and skip the work? Well, I want to put before you that God is much more concerned. God is much more concerned about your heart and your character than He is your bank account. God's much more concerned about your heart and your character than He is your bank account. How many people have we seen get rich quick only to find out later that their bank account outgrew their character? How many people have we seen get rich quick only to find out later that their money became an idol and it became a never-ending quest for more and more and more? Or how many people get rich quick and lose it all anyway? I read this week that a third of all lottery winners declare bankruptcy, and 70% of all lottery winners end up broke anyway. How many people have we seen get rich quick and lose it? Wealth gained hastily will dwindle. We're to gather it little by little. We're to work to gain wealth with diligence, with patience, and with honesty. Proverbs speaks against oppressing the poor to increase your own wealth in 22:16. It speaks against those who charge unjust profits for the sake of lining their own pockets in 28:8. It says that wealth gained by wickedness doesn't prosper in 10:2. And Proverbs says in Proverbs 28 verse 6, we'll put this one on the screen for you, 28 verse 6, that it's better to be poor and have integrity than it is to be rich but be crooked in your ways. We're to gain wealth to whatever level the Lord has for us, with diligence, not slack in our work, with patience, not seeking to gain it hastily, and with honesty, not compromising our integrity in the process. So I would just ask you here, does that describe you? Let's just start with our students for just a moment. Students, even right now, you say, I'm not making any money at school. You're not making any money at school. But what you're doing right now is you're setting the foundation blocks for the rest of your lives. So students, are you setting yourself up now by working hard and patiently and diligently and honestly in your work? Are you doing that in your school? And those of us who are working, the rest of us, in what way are you seeking? In what ways are you seeking to gain wealth, to gain assets, to gain resources, to gain money? Now, could your work life be described as diligent, patient, and honest? Diligent, patient, and honest. We gain wealth by working diligently and patiently and honestly. Our second question that we had was, how do we use this wealth? So we've gathered this wealth, we've gathered this resources. How should we use that? And the answer in the book of Proverbs is that we're to use wealth. You should use wealth in such a way that you're known by your generosity and not by your greed. Be known by generosity and not by greed. I want you to hear what Proverbs says about greed in Proverbs 15:27. Proverbs 15:27, whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. If you want to see how greed for unjust gain can ruin the life of not only you, but also your family, just go down the rabbit hole that is the life of Alex Murdaugh and just ask how that went out for him. Unjust gain. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household. Opposed to that is the life of the generous. The life of the generous. I wish we had time to go through all that the Proverbs has to say about generosity, but there's food waiting on us. So we'll not go into all the things that Proverbs says about generosity, but really it boils down to two specific actions. Generosity. Two actions. Giving to God as an act of worship and giving to relieve the legitimate needs of others. Generosity is characterized as shown through giving to God as an act of worship and giving to relieve or meet the legitimate needs of others around us. We've already seen in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, that we're to honor the Lord with our wealth and with the first fruit of our produce. It's telling us to give to God as an act of worship. Honor the Lord. To give to God as an act of worship from the first of your income and the best of your income. Giving is to be an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Now, some of us give in the offering plates by checks, and we write our check out maybe here in the pews or maybe at home before you come. You write your check out, or some of us put cash in a little envelope and we give an offering plate that way. Some of us give online, and we sit down online, and we write out what we're going to write out. But whichever way you give, Proverbs 3 tells us that we're to give from a heart that desires to honor God in that giving. Give from a heart that desires to honor God. The Old Testament speaks of the tithe. So generally speaking, that's 10%. But it really, if you add up all the ways of giving in the Old Testament, that'd be about 20 to 30% of their annual income and all the different ways it would be given there. The Old Testament speaks of the tithe, the percentage of your income. But the language for us in the New Testament is the language of sacrificial, glad-hearted generosity. Sacrificial, glad-hearted generosity. 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9. Go and read those two chapters. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. They speak of generous and sacrificial giving. 2 Corinthians 9, we read this. The point is, this will be on the screen for you. The point is, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Verse 11 goes on to say, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous in every way. Sacrificial, glad-hearted generosity. Honoring God from the first and the best of our income. So whether you give online, or whether you give in the offering plate, whether you give by check or by cash, the point is, don't let it be just another bill that you pay. It's not just another bill. This is an act of worship. We're honoring God as we're giving to God as an act of worship. Don't let it be another bill that you pay. Don't let it be second place in your priority list or third place or 15th place down the line, but give from your first and your best is what God's word tells us here. Give in such a way as to honor God. We give, we're marked by generosity as we give and worship to God. And we're also called to give to meet the legitimate needs of others. But we need to notice when we talk about giving to meet the needs of others, what Proverbs tells us is that as we're giving to the poor, even that giving is an act of giving to God. Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will repay him for his deed. What you do to the poor, you do to God. And this works both ways. What you do to the poor, what you do to help those in need, you do to God. And the promise is He'll repay you. He'll repay you. Again, we need to keep in mind that Proverbs always has an eye to the eternal thing. So that doesn't mean He's going to line your pockets with millions of dollars. You're going to get rich quick if you do this. It doesn't mean that. But he does promise you the eternal reward. He does promise you that reward in the life to come. We're to give to God, to honor God in response to the goodness of God. We do have these promises. Greed and generosity. You know, the question that drives the greedy man is, how can I get more to build my kingdom? And the question that drives the generous man is, how can I get more? He's asking the same question. The greedy man says, how can I get more to build my kingdom? The generous man says, how can I get more so that I can give more for God's kingdom? Which one are you? Which one are you? How can I get more for my kingdom? How can I get more so that I can give more for God's kingdom? Now we need to pause here for just a moment, and we need to put these two principles together, and let's just think for just a second about what I'm saying and what we're hearing from God's word today. You're to acquire wealth by diligent, patient, and honest work. You're to work hard and for a long time to acquire resources. You're to acquire wealth by hard work, and then you're to give it all away. You're to work hard to acquire wealth, and then when you get it, you're to give it away. Now, let me just clarify even what I just said. I shouldn't say give it all away. There is a place in the book of Proverbs for gathering and saving and storing up. Go to the ant. We heard that last week. Savings accounts are good and biblical things. Saving for retirement is good and biblical and wise, right? We should do those things to plan. But the general principle is we work hard and we gather resources and then we give those things away. You're to work long and hard so that you can be incredibly generous. That's the principle. Work hard and give generously. So that leads to our third question. Why should we live this way? Why should we live this way? Why should you work hard just to give what you earn away? And if you've checked out because you're thinking about turkey and gravy, let me get you just to lean in for just a moment. Because you need to get this. Because if you don't get the answer to this third question, here's what's going to happen. It's going to be one of two things. You're either going to think that you're giving money away is a means of you earning something from God. And if I give enough away, then I'm going to earn something from God, and He's got to save me in the end. He's got to let me in heaven at the end. He's got to give me a blessed life right now, whatever it is. And then when that doesn't happen, you're going to be mad at God. You're going to think you're earning something from God if you don't get this. Or even if you know that that's not right, you're going to hear this message to work hard and then be generous with that. And you're going to think that, well, I've just got to grit my teeth and do it because God said so. Well, God did say so and we should do it, but God also gives us reasons why we should do it. Reason, and we need to get this. We're to do this in response to the goodness of God. You live this way in response to the goodness of God. God does reward the faithful who live like this. We see that in Proverbs 3:10. Proverbs 19:17, that reward is in the life to come. But there's a far more important way that we see the goodness of God in the book of Proverbs, pointed to in Proverbs and fulfilled in the New Testament. Let me put two more Proverbs for you on the screen. Proverbs 10:2, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. You see, Proverbs would tell you that money isn't everything. You can buy a lot of things with money, but money can't buy you the most important thing. There is coming a day, and the Bible calls it the day of the Lord. There's coming a day when all of us will stand before God, and God will give the sentence of judgment for our sin. That day is coming, and all of us will face that day. When God will give the judgment for your wrongdoings and my wrongdoings. And all the ways that we departed from God and all the ways that we chose other things over God and we lived like God wasn't important. We bowed down before other idols. God will give the sentence of judgment for that sin for you and for me. There's coming a day. And on that day, your riches and your treasures and your wealth and your possessions will not save you. They will not save you. On that day, your bank account won't matter. Your portfolio won't matter. Your 401k won't matter. Let's bring it right here. On that day, how much you gave in the offering plate won't matter in terms of your standing before God. It won't matter. You cannot buy God off in advance. And you can't buy God off on that day. There are things your money can't buy. Riches won't profit. What you need on that day, friend, is not riches. You need righteousness. You need righteousness. And that's one commodity that money can't buy. Righteousness. We need righteousness. And that's only available through Jesus Christ. So here's the good news of the gospel. God created us holy and righteous before Him, but we walked away from that in sin. We chose other things over God, and in love, and even though we chose to live as His enemies, in love, God sent His Son. And Jesus left heaven above, the glory of heaven above, to come to earth, and Jesus came to live a perfect life, a righteous life. To live a perfect life and then to face what we deserve for our unrighteousness on the cross where Jesus died and Jesus faces what we sang earlier, the wrath of God for our sins. And on the third day, He rose from the grave. And the promise of God is that all who believe in Him, there's this exchange. It's what Matt read earlier, Pastor Matt read earlier from 2 Corinthians 5:21. There's this exchange where Jesus gets our sin and we get His righteousness. My sin is put on Jesus and Jesus' righteousness is given to me and it's received through faith and only through faith. Jesus' righteousness. My sin on Him, forgiveness, and Jesus' righteousness given to me. And if you trust in Jesus, this righteousness is yours. Right now, today, fully righteous before God. And so on that day, when you stand before God and God gives a sentence of judgment for your sin, and Jesus says, as it were, I've already paid for that. It's paid in full. And then you hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And you look back over your life and you think, good and faithful? I'm not so sure. And Jesus says, yeah, but my goodness is given to you. And my faithfulness is given to you. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Jesus left heaven and became poor to make you rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says it like this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor so that you, by His poverty, might become rich. That's the gospel. So why should you lead a generous life? Because of the gospel. Because of the goodness of God. Because of the goodness of God that has been promised to you. Because of the goodness of God that is constantly shown to you. Because of the goodness of God that has already been paid to you and given to you in full in Christ. Because of that, you're freed now to live in a generous way. That's true for you if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, that can be true for you. If you trust in Christ, your sins removed and forgiven, Christ's righteousness given to you, trust in Christ. Listen, if you're not a believer, I'm so glad you're here. I praise God that you're here today. You're always welcome here. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done last night. You're welcome here. And today, you can be forgiven. And today, you can have life. And today, you can have righteousness. Jesus came for you. If you believe and receive, would you trust Him? Your sins can be forgiven. If you are a believer, Jesus came for you. He left and He lived that way so that you would become rich. So would you now live generous in response? Let's bow. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us. Let me ask our worship team to come up and lead us.